Good morning, everybody. I'm sad to tell you that's the last time you're going to see that video. We wrap up the Reset series today. The Reset series we started earlier in the fall, finding a fresh start, choosing eight different areas in life where we could use a reset, and we're going to address a last reset message today. But first, a welcome to all of those worshiping online and at all of our sites, and for those who are guests, wherever you might be, here or really all around the world, we're grateful that we could be together. You're in store for a very, very special day. I know you'll be blessed. I'm giving my energy to this last reset message related to a more global issue and this reset we did concerning our very purpose and mission at Westwood. For those few who are guests, our purpose statement is based on the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12. And we use these words, "We exist to honor God by enjoying him through reaching people with the love of Jesus Christ." A year and a half ago, we did a reset on our very mission to say, is this what God has for us? We know it is, but what does it look like? And what does it mean to raise the bar, to get laser focused in the reality of what this mission is all about here, near, and far? We have a little axiom that we've been using around here quite a bit. If we could only get the love thing right, there's no end to what we could do or be for God's glory. God gets the love thing right always. We don't always. We need his help and his wisdom, but what does it mean to raise the bar in the focus of our lives to seek to get the love thing right here, near, and far, based on a promise that God gives to us through the words of Jesus himself concerning his very presence and his very power when he says that you, Joel, and Westwood, put your own name in there, will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, here, near, and far. So we recalibrated our focus on getting the love thing about right in terms of here, near, and far. But also we put a love strategy together different than anything we've done in our 25 years to say, how could we boldly move forward with the invitation for us to get this love thing right? And we defined it as the 10-10-10 strategy, love strategy. Just briefly for guests as well, the first 10 is that over these next 10 years, up till 2028 is our vision, that we would be involved with planting 10 churches, multi-sites, or micro-sites as we seek to get the love thing right in our own backyard with our own neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, our family. The second 10 is 10 times 10, that we would seek to get the love thing right by bringing the gospel of Jesus to the immigrant community of the Twin Cities. Over 1 million first and second generation immigrants live in the Twin Cities. 90% have no affiliation with the Church of Jesus Christ or the hope that comes from there. Could we be about celebrating 100 church plants in partnership with others in the immigrant community between now and 2028? And then the third, bolder still, is 10 times 10 times 10, that by God's power, could we be partners with others to see 1,000 churches planted through the prayer and investment of Westwood in the far reaches of the world to the unreached people, people who've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's bold. And God is already, in a year and a half, bringing so much blessing from it. So we continue to move into this direction, but you ask the question, how do we go about reaching 1,000 people? We're going to look today in the reset around the far dimension, those 1,000 churches. How does it actually happen? And so we partner with an organization for many of these church plants. They're called TTI, the Timothy Initiative. Timothy Initiative has different regions. The Southeast Asian director is with us today and a guest to Westwood. I first met him in a powerful way when he was speaking at an event that I was at 3 years ago. And here's a man of God, so beautifully anointed. God has used his young life already to start a seminary, to found an orphanage, to be involved with training and developing church planters to the end that thousands of churches have already been planted through the influence of him. He could be in Hebrews 11 in terms of the legacy of faith. Extraordinary man of faith. And when I first heard him, I was so deeply touched by him. I mean, honestly, to the core, I thought to myself, you know, I meet certain people. Have you ever had this? You meet somebody in life and you go, I want all my friends to know this person. And I said to him, someday I am going to go to Myanmar. He's from Myanmar, which, by the way, the western border of Myanmar is India and the eastern border is Thailand. If you need some geographical perspective, it's formerly Burma. And I said, someday I'm going to go to Myanmar, and someday you're going to meet my friends at Westwood. 3 years later, he's here today. And you're going to meet one of the most beautiful men, honestly, that I've ever met. You'll be blessed by his presence and his journey and his family as well. So I'm going to invite him to come because he's not here just alone. He's been to the United States, but for the first time, he has brought his family for specific reasons. And we get to welcome them, and I want you to meet the whole family. So Moses and Sharon and kids, come on up. And I'd love to invite our church to give you a warm Westwood welcome. Moses and Sharon and Elizabeth and Ruth, come on over here. And just for a moment, because they're going to make their way, this is how it works, isn't it? From Myanmar to Minnesota. So we find that these kids who have grown up in a family where they're just accustomed to serving, they're going to leave in a moment because every hour today they are serving our kids and our kids' ministry. So neat. But Moses, just introduce your family and let us get acquainted. We want to honor all of you.
Thank you. And we feel proud and honored to be here with you. It takes about 25 hours to be with you today. And we feel honored and we really appreciate. Thank you and God bless you. Let me introduce my beautiful wife. This is Sharon. We've been married for 20 years already. And we hope to have many more years again. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
And she is the director of our overnight home. And you know what is her biggest role in to my life? She is my boss.
Oh.
I have to salute him every day.
Yes.
If I need any approval, I have to go and salute her every day. She's my big boss. And here is our older daughter, Elizabeth. Is how many years old you are? 16 years. And she loves singing. She's a great, talented young lady. And here is our second daughter, Ruth. She is great dancer. She's great dancer. And here is the only son in my life, Joseph, is here with me today. I'm so proud. And he is the best soccer that I have ever seen in my life, in my family. I am his coach. I coach him, and he is the best soccer in our family. And thank you, and God bless you, Pastor.
Wow, so good, isn't it? So I'm just grateful that they're here. They're going to go down and serve in our children's ministry, but whenever I travel around the world, they always bring me up, or if my family is with me, they always honor us. And I go, we don't always do that. But cultures are filled with honor because God is an honor God. We honor you and are grateful for your presence as a family with our church today. And we say thank you again as they make their way down. Go ahead and bless them.
Thank you.
Moses and I are going to do a two-step today, and we're just going to have a conversation. You're going to hear about this journey because it's one of my hopes that you will leave understanding how does the far reach of 1,000 churches get planted. You're going to understand that better today with Moses, but so much more. I've chosen as a frame of reference for my questions for Moses the very invitations, the love invitations about how do we get the love thing right that I gave to you about 3 years ago. I gave it from the passion of my heart and the conviction that the goodness of God would blow with the power of mercy through your life personally and your families and our church if we did these three simple things. They're not complex, but they are the key to understanding the goodness and the blessing of the Lord in our lives. And I was curious how he would, as a leader, Moses in Myanmar would respond as we're trying to plant 100 churches of our 1,000 in Myanmar with Moses and his leadership team. So it's a refresher for you, but you'll be blessed by how they step into this very invitation as well. The first invitation I gave you is for us to take a next step and to grow our faith. Wherever you are, take a next step to grow your faith. Why is that so important? Because every love relationship requires growth. You will grow deeper in love with Jesus as you take a next step. If you're not taking a next step to grow your faith, you will start to be uninterested. You will not experience the presence and the beauty and the love and the joy of God the way he intends for you. It's as we step into taking that next step that we experience the beauty of his presence and the power of his provision for our every need. So in your own journey, your personal story, I'd love for you to share your story of your life from birth to your call of ministry in 1 minute. Thank you, Moses.
Thank you. If you allow me to write my brief story, it will take 1,000 pages. But you allow me to share in 1 minute. Let me go ahead. Okay. Thank you. I was born in 1970 in a loving Christian home who loved nothing but the Lord. But my father was a military man, And somewhere in the military service, he came to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And when he came back, and he shared his faith to my mother, and my mother received the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on, they shared their faith to the community, and the community became a Christian. And unfortunately, my father died when I was only 1 year old. And you can understand to grow up being an orphan. And I say that, Lord, one day, if I grow up, I would like to look the orphans and take care of them. Because I know the pain and the suffering of how to grow as an orphan. Therefore, when I grow up, I want to open up a children's home, orphanage home. I'm going to look up to them. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to raise them up in the fear of the Lord. And today, we have 45 children in our children's home. Every day is a big celebration.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is.
And my mother was a lady that feared nothing but the Lord. She did not fear persecution. She did not fear death. But she only feared God. And she was the lady who molded me and who made me up to grow up in the way that I should be today. Mm-hmm. And one thing that really still ringing in my ear about my life, about what my mother have told me, was that, my son, listen carefully. When you grow up, you need to understand this truth. People will cheer you up, people will love you, and people will follow you as long as you are able, as long as you are able. And when you are not able, when you are not able to influence them, and when you are not able to lead them, they are going to shut the door of their heart for you, that they will no longer cheer you and love you. But one thing remember in life, always put your trust and hope in Jesus. Jesus is the only one who will be faithful to you, no matter who you are. That is still ringing in my ear.
That's a beautiful truth that allowed you to take a next step. A father in the military who comes to faith through the influence of a British soldier. Your father comes home, leads your mother to faith in Jesus Christ. Your father passes and then raises you with the wisdom of God's
exactly.
truth and the hope of Christ, that there is no greater hope than the hope of Jesus Christ. And it led to a call to plant churches to the unreached peoples in Southeast Asia, not just in Myanmar.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you have a personal experience. And when I first met Moses, this is my heart was undone by his story. The power of his preaching in this moment was extraordinary 3 years ago. And then the story of his own family journey. You know, God uses your own family to deepen your heart's understanding for his heart for the world. And he's done that. And so we've prayerfully, carefully just talked through, would this be a wise opportunity with his whole family here to share about the story related to a particular need for his son, Joseph? We agreed that it would be wise and good. So Moses, share what you're walking through with your family right now.
Yeah, Pastor, I marry the most beautiful girl in all over the world.
Well, I
married.
You
do so?
Yes.
We both of us are married.
We were the most beautiful girl. Don't know why. I
thought I'm the only person.
No, we need to clarify this. Okay, continue.
Thank you. And my wife is very capable, and she's very beautiful. I love her. We have beautiful family. Yeah. We have beautiful ministry. And we have planted thousands of churches among the unreached people group. People are coming to the Lord every day and taking baptism, confessing their sin, and they are putting their trust in the Lord. Everything is going well and fine. But one day, my son is right here with me. My son complained severe headache, and he began to vomit. And he said that, I feel like my head is going to break it up. I felt so severe pain in my head. And we took him to many doctors and many hospitals in my city, but nothing helped. But at last, we discovered that we were suggested that we go for CT scan, head CT scan. The head CT scan revealed that it is terminal disease, brain tumor. When we hear this news, That was the beginning of suffering and pain in our family. We have no answer for that. We have no answer. Lord, and as a father, I have to take quick decision what to do. And I say it and I pray to the Lord. Lord, if it is possible, I want to save my son. If it is for one day, even if it is for 1 hour, I want to save him with all that I can, with all my energy and all my have. You know, a person in whom you love deeply, even you are willing to change your life for him. And I said, Lord, I can even change my life and wait to him and wait not to me. And I would rather give up my life and let him leave. That is the pain and the suffering that we have. And we have no choice because in my city, medical care is very limited. And we have to quickly run to Bangkok and do operation for 6 hours. And when he came back from operation room, the next 3 to 6 months, he did not speak anymore. He did not walk anymore. That's the suffering that we have in the family. And the biopsy revealed that it is terminal disease. And I can understand the plan of God, Pastor. And I don't know how to respond, but only put my trust in him. And today we believe that he is healed. But every time we visit the doctor and do consultation, they say, now it seems to be doing good, but it will come back. And they give him 5 years. But Pastor, not, why not 70 years? Why they give him only 5 years? He is my son.
Yeah, Moses, we want to come alongside, and I, you know, when we talked about just inviting us as a church family, and you know, obviously we want him to help us understand how do we reach 1,000 new churches. But I start to realize Westwood is a very loving church, and we're praying church, and we will come alongside and pray for Moses and his family as they navigate this. He surrendered his life to the Lord, so it gets confusing sometimes. But we also know the scripture says suffering comes to us. And we continue to do what we can. And I don't have answers for you, Moses, but I think of Psalm 126 that says, those who sow in tears will sing a song of joy and reap sheaves of harvest. That things were so hard for the people of Israel that they still had to go sow the seeds to be able to live, and God promises a joy that comes with that. So we're going to pray for that for you as well, and I invite you as a church family. We're working collaboratively together to bring the whole family with us. This is a privilege to have the whole family, but we're working with Wooddale Church and Grace Church to get the whole family here. They're going to Florida for a conference, and then we're providing with these three churches an opportunity for the family to go to Disney World and just create some beautiful memories together.
Thank you.
So that's terrific.
This is the first time, going to be the first time in my life.
Yeah, to Disney World. Yeah, you're not going to want to leave. Well, you may. I don't know. We'll see. So we, before we leave, we promise to pray for this family. We want to honor this family. They're on the front line of the battlefield of God's kingdom work. And yet they have many personal things they're navigating with that as well. But you took the next step and are taking the next step to grow your faith. The second invitation that I gave to us is to walk across the room and share your faith with your friends and your colleagues. And you know, we live in the land of freedom, and there's so much ease for us to do it, but we're reticent to do it. And part of our encouragement is for all of us to become bold in the tender and beautiful presence of God's love. We get the love thing right when we share the name of Jesus. But you live in a place you can't just share the name of Jesus if you start there, because a very small percentage of people from Myanmar actually are Christians, and
exactly.
You face opposition and persecution if
exactly.
You start with the name of Jesus.
Exactly.
And yet we want to plant with you 100 churches of our 1,000. So how do you walk across the room and share your faith in Myanmar?
Thank you, Pastor. Sorry for my emotional
No, don't be sorry.
And
we're with you.
I believe that when a person is born in the family of God, God has given us a new name. It's right there in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, where Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Your new name is light. We don't have light, but the light of Jesus that live and dwell in us, we need to reflect that light to our community. We need to shine our light to our community. That is the first thing. We need to know our identity in Christ. If we know who we are in Jesus Christ, we need to live according to that our identity.
So how do you go about the training and development? In the midst of opposition and persecution, you identified a threefold way that you train and develop your leaders. What are those threefold expressions? Because I think they're fitting for us as well.
In my culture, we came from hostile culture to Christianity. We can't just go and share Jesus Christ about the gospel. We need to be very careful, because this is very risky. However, we are here to shine our light to the community. One thing we do is intentional prayer. When we want to reach out the community, we pray for them day and night that loving Father will soften the heart of the people, will open up their heart, and will give us door of opportunity so that we can go and share the love of Jesus Christ to the community. And the second thing that we do is intentional care. Because in the community, there are a lot of needs. You can just close your eye and ignore the need. But we need to care the community intentionally so that one day, through our intentional care, God will give us opportunity to share the love of Christ to the community.
Yeah. And God is working through this.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
I'm going to have you give an example around this, because I love the word intentionality, by the way, because if we're intentional to take a next step to grow our faith, if we're intentional to walk across the room and share our faith with gentleness and care, it leads us to the third invitation, and that's to open our hands to share unprecedented amounts of mercy to those in need. That God is always work through the needs of people, their real life needs. And you help us put a face to this just by an experience that you've had working with the orphanage and the reality of how you open your hands with unprecedented amounts of mercy then leads to the sharing of the name of Jesus and a whole village coming to faith, which happens again and again in their particular journey, and we're coming alongside. But share that story of how it works.
You know, Pastor Joe, I grew up as an orphan. I know the pain and the suffering, how to be and how look like an orphan. And I was praying that one day when I grow up, I'm going to look up to the orphan. So right now, the Lord is giving us 75 orphans, and a big family. And that's how we are able to reach out to the community.
Yeah.
These are our children.
Yep.
They love the Lord. They came from various backgrounds, and we are looking up to them. We care for them, and now they really love the Lord.
They love the Lord. Yeah. Go ahead, and you shared a very tender, beautiful story about two orphans recently and how those two orphans would be used of God to bring the gospel to a village. Just share that story of the child who is sick and the child who is well.
One day, I received a phone call from my friend, and he said, Pastor Moses, we have two little girls coming to our home today, and I know that you are running orphanage home. Will you come and take them? Without any second thought, I ran to him, and when I looked at the corner of the house, there were two little girls sitting there. One was very, very sick, no blood in her face, but the other one seemed to be okay and normal. And I called to my wife, Sharon. Sharon, we have two little girls here. One seemed to be very sick. One seemed to be normal. What shall I do? And my wife said, do whatever the Lord is telling you to do. Without any thinking, without any second thought, I grabbed them and I brought to my home. Unfortunately, the one who was very sick, in a week, she fell down. And we have to take her to the hospital. And they discovered that she is suffering from leukemia. And with all that we have, we try to help him. But it is true that medical care over there are very limited. So she passed away. And in our culture, when a person dies, as much as possible, we need to take the body to the village. So the relative told me that, Pastor Moses, you must bring the dead body to our village. So I have to take her to the dead body to the village, and they did not allow us to enter into the community, the village, because in our culture, bringing the dead body to the village is bringing bad luck. And I said, okay, only one deal I have with you. Tomorrow morning, invite the whole community to the village. And I have something to tell you about this girl. And tomorrow morning, they brought all the people in one place, and I begin to share about the love of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have for eternity. And nothing happened. I went back. After a month, I hear breaking news that the relative came to the Lord. And after some month, I hear that surrounding neighbor came to the Lord. After a few months, big, great breaking news came that the community came to the Lord. This is what something is doing, God. God is doing to the community.
We give thanks. God is at work, and He works through your proclamation of the gospel, but it's His Spirit. He is that mover on the world, and we're simply going where He is at work.
Exactly. So, Pastor, I want to say thank you to all of you. We are not doing alone. DTI is not doing alone. Together with DTI and we are partnering together for the kingdom of God, and we are doing together. We are in the same team. Yeah. We really appreciate you for your partnership, your generosity for the kingdom of God. Thank you, and God bless you. Yeah.
Thank you, Moses. That's good. All right. Before I pray for you, you have one last word for Westwood.
Well, I have the last word for Westwood. One final challenge. Yesterday, I was invited by Pastor Joe and Pastor Chet to come here and to look around. The first thing I observed and I noticed was on the wall, I saw one great writing. It is said, 1,000 churches to be planted among the unreached people group by 2028.
Yep.
Impressive and great. I believe this is going to happen. But my final challenge is, why can't you add another zero?
I thought you should hear this from him directly.
I don't even ask you one. I ask you for only zero. Yes.
Which would be 10,000 churches. And I said, well, I think I invaded their comfort zones with 1,000. But I do say this to Moses, because I think your vision comes from God. If we are faithful to the 1,000, we will trust Him for the 10,000.
Thank you.
So thank you for planting that seed for all of us. And we'll celebrate that as God leads. So Moses is going to stay. I'd like to offer a prayer for him, but not him alone, because today is the National Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church in the World. I want to pray for the church. I want to pray for your family. You're living in a persecuted region. And also give an invitation. The last 10 days, I have participated and spoken at 4 different fundraising events for nonprofits. I believe in all of them. I give to all of them. They're important. But after my 4th one, I have this reality that the church was given to us by Jesus. And God accomplishes His holy purposes for the world through His church. And I don't speak a lot about the financial side of it, but I need to, because it costs money to come alongside of Moses and other partners. And November is a giving month. You get so many invitations. All of us do. And you have to parse that out and say, where do we want to give? There's so many wonderful causes. Can I just give a bold, humble invitation to let the Church of Jesus Christ be a priority in your giving as well, through your ongoing tithes and offerings? But I'm praying that God would work through our faith community to give us a strong year-end financial posture to continue with the online community and other parts of the 10-10-10 vision going into the next year. So would you consider above and beyond gift at the end of this year to the honor of God and for the purposes of His work through His church called Westwood and Beyond? Now, we're going to pray, and we honor you and your family, and I'm touched by His whole journey and what they're leading into, but I want to invite you to stand. It feels like that's the right posture. And not only that, if you've been at Westwood, you know that our purpose statement also has an expression with open hands, receiving from God all that He wants to give, believing He wants to give us a lot, with open hands, giving it away, believing we cannot outgive God because all that we are and all that we have comes from Him. In a spirit of humility, would you just open your hands as a posture of receptivity as I pray? Father God, thank you for the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the bread and the cup that we'll soon put to our lips, mindful of your coming into our backyard, making love known, mindful of your sacrifice on the cross, so generous to pour your blood out for us to give us freedom and hope. hope for today and hope for eternity. Lord, I pray for the persecuted church, those who have received the beauty of your message. I rejoice in their freedom, that they are bold to stand up with you and for you in the face of opposition. So for the persecuted church all across the world, continue to give humility, courage, a love, a joy, a peace, a hope, that in the face of even opposers and those who would persecute, that their hearts would be undone by our willingness to stand with and for you. And we rejoice for the gift of Moses and Sharon and Elizabeth and Ruth and Joseph, who we get to have in our church on this day. We're honored to have them. And you know their need. With your eyes, look upon them and be glorified. With your ears, hear this prayer for healing for Joseph. Not for partial, but for full healing, as only you can do. Let his life be a light in so many ways. With your mighty right hand, reach down to touch him and this family and our families as we come to this table and give thanks for your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.